This week at the Harbour View Hotel, Monday, $20 muscle pot. Tuesday, trivia night and $10 Zoo special. Wednesday, big special, 20% off any pizza, 5 till 8. Thursday, jackpot draw of $600 and mid-rack one burger and beer. And Friday, happy hour, 4 to 7. And Saturday, Sunday, brunch, 9 to 2. We look forward to welcoming you and yours for a great time in Raglan at the Harbour View Hotel.
Starting a landscaping project or just need ideas? Come and see us at Raglan Landscape Supplies. We have all the landscaping products you need. From stones to sleepers, sand to bark, drainage meters to builder's mix, pavers to compost. We even have a plant nursery. We deliver to your door. We have free customer loan trailers. We also hire out a post-hole borer, concrete mixer, compactor and water blaster.
Please check out our website, www.raglanlandscapesupplies.co.nz.
We are at 140 Tomato Road. Look for the big green wheelbarrow or ring 825 0577.
Raglan Community Radio supports the Code of Broadcasting Practice for the broadcasts of its radio programs. If you hear something you find offensive or intentionally misleading on our station, you have the right to complain. A formal complaint about a specific program or incident must be made within 20 days of broadcast of that program to Raglan Community Radio, PO Box 126, Raglan.
This is not the BBC.
And I hope you find it reassuring. It's not BBC. You're listening to Raglan Talking Raglan on Raglan Community Radio at Arangiel Whangarā. And Javier said it was 4 minutes late. It's in fact 11 minutes past six. But I think our show starts late, so it all adds up. Aaron's been away for a while and there's not an awful lot to cover, so I thought I'd let their show run on. There is some news around, but not an awful lot, so do the usual thing and have a look at the what's happening and what the weather's doing and all that sort of stuff. So in terms of what's happening, we're on Tuesday the 23rd of July, and the only thing that, as the advert said, is left this evening on our list of events is the Harbour View Hotel Trivia Night. That's happening 7 o'clock. Then after that, we've got Wednesday. So Wednesday, Raglan Ramblers going rambling as usual. Different place each week. This week off to Harkia, which is the name that was given a few years ago to plot of land down on the north side of Artea Harbour, where it's possible to walk down through some covenanted bush down to the edge of the harbour, have a look at the par site on the way down, or maybe on the way up, might be easier and less slippery after the rain that we're probably going to have overnight, or showers overnight, might be easier doing it that way. Because I should have mentioned the weather forecast, which is not looking too great overnight, but is looking good for up until, well, it depends what you think is good, but up until Sunday, I think we're not supposed to have much in the way of rain after about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Overnight, we've got some poor visibility showers. Temperature dropping down to 8 degrees, around about 11 at the moment. The highest we're going to have over the next few days is about 15, and 8's about as low as it's going to get. 1,016 hectopascals for the pressure. Supposed to have a southwest sooy of 25 knots, but there doesn't seem much sign of it at the moment. And together with that comes a southwest swell of 2 metres, northwest swell of 2 metres. So quite choppy sea out there, not as high as it often gets at this time of year, but still swells from both directions. The low tide was about 3/4 of an hour ago, 0.5 metre low tide. The next high tide in daylight will be 12:21 tomorrow afternoon, 3.2 metre high tide, so that's high as it's going to get in this cycle of tides. The days, of course, still getting longer. So we've since I last talked to you last week, we've gained 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening. So we've now got 7:25 for a possible sunrise. Probably going to be a bit showery and cloudy at that time tomorrow morning, and 5:28 for a sunset. So I don't think we saw much for sunset. It was a bit too cloudy this evening, but you never know. So that's the weather forecast. Didn't really get very far going through the list of events, did I? So let's go back to the list of events and have a look at what else is happening. I mentioned the Raglan Rambas going rambling. Don't think I mentioned time and place to start, which is the usual 9 o'clock on James Street near the Catholic Church tomorrow morning. And tomorrow evening, Harbour View Hotel gets another mention with Science Night, talking about the Kororā, the little penguin. So if you're interested in how many penguins we've got around our coast, then 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Harbour View Hotel. Not sure it's going to be. I imagine it's going to be in the front bar, but maybe outside in the garden. I imagine with 8-degree temperatures, maybe that's not going to be the greatest place. What else is happening? Chamber of Commerce have got their annual general meeting happening on Thursday, 6 o'clock in the community house basement. The trying to remember what this one is. I wrote myself some cryptic notes and now can't remember. It's don't be left in the dark. So information about electronics and generators and I imagine batteries and renewable energy and all that sort of stuff. So that's happening 3 o'clock on Typerie Avenue under the title of Sunday Times with the Time Bank. So if you're interested in booking into that one, have a look for Sunday Times and the Time Bank on Sunday. And you should find a way of booking into that one. And I think that's about it for the list of things which are happening, which don't normally happen, unless I've missed some, which I might well have done. Not yet managed to see the Chronicle that came out almost a couple of weeks ago. It's not online, and sometimes it gets delivered and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it ends up sticking out of the letterbox and getting wet, so you can't read it. Not sure that's a complete list of things which are happening. It's a fairly short list of things which are happening. And let's have a look at what's been in the news this week, which is again a fairly short list. So we've got the news about emergency repairs on State Highway 23. This is yet again that slip on Greenslade Road, which is causing trouble. They did divert Greenslade Road, or did divert Hills Road, so use that area going past, the current main road, which goes sort of straight past Hills Road rather than going up it. One time the main road used to go up there and wander through the old quarry and things like that, and I don't know whether they ever had trouble with that, but we seem to have had trouble with that culvert near Greenslade Road, and now we've got trouble with this bank near Greenslade Road. So the media release says slip repairs are required on State Highway 23 at Greenslade Road to cut and shape the bank and install soil protection, and that's happening from Thursday 25th of July, a couple of days' time, taking around 2 weeks to complete. It is weather-dependent, but looks like good weather to start with, so should make a good start. And there's going to be a three-way stop-go on the main road and on Greenslade Road, and that will be in place Monday to Friday, 9 till 3. So presumably if you're going at the peak times, then you might as well avoid it, but if you're going off peak, then you won't. Outside this time, the road will be open with shoulder closure and a temporary speed limit. And I've been questioning regional council because they've got a meeting on Thursday, and part of their agenda says there's in relation to future proof, which is this idea of working out what the future is going to be for Waikato, or at least the Hamilton area of Waikato, and working out how many people are going to be living where, and what they're going to be doing, and how they're going to be travelling, and all that sort of stuff. And it says, corridor study and investigation, Raglan, long-term plan funded. It seemed to me that was rather misleading, because the plan is looking at quadrupling the population of Raglan. Not sure whether that's a prediction or an intention or quite what it is. It sort of seemed rather vague. But anyway, a lot more people than there are at the moment. And if there's a lot more people, it suggests that there's a lot more people wanting to travel between Hamilton and Raglan, because that's what's happened in the past. I suppose with electronics, might not necessarily be what happens in the future. And the future-proof response that I got had told me that there were no plans at present to undertake an assessment of the road corridor. And they said that they apparently the long-term plan funding that's referred to is a study that's going to look at what we're doing with transport in Raglan, which I think we're being promised for maybe August, maybe September, something like that. And so I was questioning whether it was a bit misleading to say that, because the point is that the Future Proof has looked at most of the other growth areas around the WAC, around Hamilton, and done fairly detailed transport studies on them, saying, oh, yeah, you need this bit of extra road, or you could do with an extra bus here and there, all that sort of stuff. And yet we've got a road which has already got a pretty high accident rate, and which, as we all know, winds all over the place. And as we all know from last May, in fact, from the news that I've just read out, it falls apart fairly frequently. There doesn't seem to be any plan to look at how four times as many people can use that road, and what's going to happen, whether we're going to all travel on buses, or whether we're going to have electric planes by then, or all sorts of things. But none of that seems to have been done. Seems pretty unlikely that we're going to all be on buses, or that we're all going to be on electric planes. If that's not the case, then there's probably going to be a lot more people trying to drive along that road. And the problem being that the more people you've got driving on it, the less margin there is for error. Because if you manage to cross over the centre line and there's nobody else around, it's not a very great idea, but it doesn't really matter. But for somebody else coming the other way, and if it's four times more likely there's somebody else coming the other way, then that's when the crashes happen. So it does seem to me to be something worth looking at. And so far, as far as I can make out, everyone's passing the buck and saying, we don't want to know about this one. I'm just hoping that if I sort of mention it from time to time, then somebody might get round to doing something before it's too late. That doesn't seem to be a trend in government at the moment. We just had the report on climate change, which says we can't really do much about what's happening in 20 or 30 years' time, because we've just, all the sort of things that were being done have been scrapped. And sort of pushing the problem down the road in the hope that in 20 or 30 years' time, someone's going to have sorted out with something, maybe some new technology, or maybe we'll be flying in electric planes by then. Who knows? But anyway. So I think that's about all the news that I've spotted this week. I'm sure there should be some more news, but as I've said in previous weeks, there seems to be very little happening at the moment. So let's have some music, then we'll have bottom of the hour, and then we'll look at some history of Raglan, and then we'll look at some natural history of Raglan. So let's see if I can manage to press the right buttons and get the right things happening in the right places. So if I press that button, then we should be able to listen to Telemann's Concerto for horns. So and we'll listen to the bottom of the hour items which helped pay the rent here at Raglan Community Radio. Telemann's Concerto for Two Horns, and Telemann was a German musician who lived about the same time as Johann Sebastian Bach, around about sort of the late 1600s to mid 1700s in Germany. So that's the origin of that. Apparently he wrote a large amount of music, probably more than many other composers. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. It's now just coming up to 29 minutes past six. And let's have a lot of our items a minute early.
North respect to the Red Robin Reggae Rodeo.
Yeah, you're in the Red Robin. Robbins Reggae Rodeo.
This is the Reggae Rodeo every Friday from 6 till 8 with your host Red Robin here out of Raglan. It's a fantastic Friday night.
Red Robin Reggae Rodeo.
98.1 Raglan Community Radio.
Hello, sorry I can't be here in person today, but I've got Johnny helping me to produce the show, and hopefully it will be an interesting show with some old and some new things, some things you might have heard before and some things maybe you haven't heard before. So there's going to be not so much of the weather and not so much of the what's on at the moment. I hope it might be possible to include some of that, but we'll see. And we'll see what else we can manage to fit in as well with Johnny's help. Hopefully I'll be back live next week on next Thursday. So I hope you enjoy Raglan talking to Raglan this week.
And I hope that's not thoroughly confused you, because I was curious as to know what was on that track, because all it says is John introduction to RTR. So it dates from 2004, I think, when Johnny, who's now doing his own radio show, was running Raglan Community Radio. So a long time ago. And then another one from the past is when I was talking to Lorna Lusty about local history. So yeah, let's hear about that.
It's a brief introduction that it's quite a while ago that I talked to Lorna Lusty about history. She wrote quite a number of the articles that are in the history books. You might have noticed the history books either in the library or in the Raglan bookshop. Bob Vernon wrote a whole series of them about 20 or 30 years ago, and probably the best history there is of Raglan, about the only history there is of Raglan. A few people have written odd articles now and again, largely based on those books, because he did a huge amount of research. He knew a huge amount, having lived here all his life as well, and he talked to people like Lorna to fill in the bits that he didn't know, so it was good to catch up with Lorna. And I now hear that that tape's finished running back, so let's see how well it actually works. I'm not too sure how well it worked. That the tape itself is about 10 years old and hasn't been played for a long time.
You've written quite a lot of the sections which Bob Vernon put in his Telugu book.
Yes, that was done under pressure.
Oh.
For a start.
Yes.
And then we all got carried away. My efforts were edited a little bit because I was too voluble.
Yes.
Yes.
He wanted to fit it into a small book.
Yeah. So, yes. No, it was very pleasant doing that. Oh. It was really very nice, and I learned such a lot about the farm we had at Teugu. At Teugu. Uh-huh. And, you know, who the first people were that bought it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we have Stewart Street and James Street.
Yes.
John Street.
Yes.
John Stewart. Yes. Named after the Stewart brothers who bought the farm.
So how did you go about doing your research for it? Did you go
a local man, Eric Moon, he was able to fill me in with all sorts of things. I think his real name, but he was always known as Eric.
Yes.
And he had a most wonderful memory.
Yes.
And it was really very nice to hear all about the very old days.
Yes.
Not just from when I was a little girl.
Yes.
I was actually born in Stratford, so that, you know, I'm an implant.
In Taunaki.
Yes. Yes.
So when did you come up to Raglan area?
Well, my father died when I was just a year and 11 months old, and the oldest sister and the brother, they stayed in Taranaki.
Yes.
But the cousins up here said to the other boys, you ought to come up to the Waikato. It's a better place, yes, yes, more prospects.
Yes.
So we all bundled up here. I was born in 1920, and I was less than... I would have been about 3 years old, I guess, when we moved to the Waikato.
Yes.
And, after a lot of toing and froing and my sister married a man by the name of William Coate, who lived down the Wainoa Road. And that was my first, really, as a grown, say about 9 years old or so, my first introduction to Yugu.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And
So you were living then in the Hamilton area?
Yes. Anyway, and then I was sent out here, really, because of my health.
Yes,
I was rather a skinny type,
yes.
And they thought the ozone might be helpful. And as you can see, it's been very, yes, I think I'll have to stop breathing this wonderful air.
Move back to Hamilton.
No, thank you. No. And I went to school at Tiuku, and we walked. My brother-in-law had been married previously and had a son, and when he remarried, when Bill remarried, of course, Eric came home. So the two of us went to school at Tiuku, and we used to walk from where Nelson's now live, and a lot of people will know Nelson's name. And that was 2¾ miles, and, you know, rain, hail or shine, you went off to school.
Yes. That's the sort of distance I used to catch a bus to school. So.
And, of course, all metal roads, no motor cars as such. And Mr. Higgins used to come about once every fortnight to, he had a batch down at the Harota Bay.
Yes.
And he'd come. And he'd drive from Frankton out and have his launch tied up at the Tiuku Landing.
Yes.
And heaven help us.
Down by the falls, is that right? Am I thinking of the right place? Down.
This is on the Wainoa Road?
Yes, and just where it comes next to the...
Oh, yes, well, I suppose.
The rapids down there where they do all the...
Yes, but further on.
Fishing. Yes.
And... it was really very nice. By this time, my brother-in-law had acquired a horse for us, you see. And, oh dear, we didn't realise it at first, but that horse had never seen a motor car. And so we used to have to stick the horse's head in the gorse, you see, till the car had gone by. If he couldn't see it, you know, it was nothing to worry about. And many a tumble we had. And, of course, it was a one-teacher school. And
who was the teacher, can you remember?
Yes, my teacher at that time was a Miss Crabb. Oh. I don't know that she was universally liked.
I've already heard about her a bit. Yes.
Well, she was a very kind person to me, especially in later years. And... No, we got on very well, and it was, you know, we learned our basics from her. If you were very good at a subject, often you had to take the primers or something out to the shelter shed and read them a story while she got on teaching another class with something.
So that's how she coped with the different levels.
And I think... Yes, well, most teachers dislike some children, don't they? And like others.
As far as you were concerned, she was quite fair and a good teacher.
Well, yes, I learned a lot from her. But, you know, going back to... And then when we got to the stage of being teenagers and just thinking how marvellous it was, you know, we were allowed to go to dances, mind you, in the Tiuku Hall, and
that would have been
chaperoned, but it was just so marvellous, and the atmosphere in the district was so nice, it really was, because people took the trouble to go and visit one another, and it was all formal. You know, bread and butter for afternoon tea, plus cakes and biscuits.
And how often would that happen?
Well, not very often. Yes, about once a month. And I'm only speaking from my point of view.
Yes.
But No, it was, and the orchestra used to come from Raglan.
They actually had an orchestra.
Oh, yes, they had a marvellous orchestra. The Gilmore Boys and Brian Banks and, Jim Nofke. I think there were others, but I can't remember them.
Yes, so what sort of instruments would they have been playing? Violin?
No. One Gilmore Boy played the piano, and he was a crackerjack on it.
Yes.
And I think the other one played the drums, and then Mr. Nofke played something you blew through. I don't know whether it was a saxophone or what it was, but
yes,
the music was all very nice.
Yes.
And they were a, am I allowed to say, a wild lot?
Yes.
You know,
so they got up to all sorts of things once they were...
Just like my sons, I don't cry, I won't say that they were terrible boys, but they were pretty gay when they went out. But as I said to the policeman, you look back on those days, and they used to kick their heels up and have a really wild time. But they didn't go out with baseball bats and knives and guns and things.
Yes.
And I think that's why we were sheltered, so well sheltered in those days.
I suppose everyone knew everyone else.
Yes, and it made life very pleasant. And my one episode of coming to, before my sister even married, my uncle had a farm out at Kauro, by Wright's Road.
Yes.
I think the Jolts live there now, they do.
I don't think it, I know it.
Yes. And Uncle Bill used to take us around in his motor car.
Yes.
I know it had side curtains and, a really wonderful affair.
Yes.
And we came, this one day, we came down to Raglan, and I was all of 5 or 6 years old anyway. And
in the mid-1920s then.
Yes, and we had... afternoon tea at Mrs. Bernard's tea rooms.
Yes.
Her husband was a baker, etc.
It's just on the corner of Wallace Street and Bow Street.
Yes, where the jewel shop is.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was beautiful. You see, in my mind, I can still see those gorgeous cups and saucers.
Yes.
They were beautiful. And my mum apparently was afraid I might drop one.
So they weren't just the plain white.
Oh no, they weren't railway cut by any. Oh no, they were the best china. And then out to the sale yards, Uncle Bill. I remember him taking us on one occasion out to a sale at Kauroa,
yes.
And he gave it. Oh, it was. Of course, the water there was only a tank, you know, and they used to guard that water. It was like gold. And he'd taken one or two bottles of soft drink with him. And my greatest joy was when he asked me to choose which one I'd like. And it was a bottle of creaming soda. Oh, heaven forbid, creaming soda, I've only got to think of it, and I was so sick. Oh, it was hot, you see,
yes.
and the soft
and
drink
the cream
was... It was very fizzy and tasted like vanilla, sort of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't the drink you had on a hot day.
Yes.
But...
So you didn't remember much else of the sale that day?
No, but that was only a by the way, but... you know, we put up with, really we did put up with such a lot of, we didn't have anything. Nobody had anything.
Yes.
Really, you know, I mean, just because Mrs. Brown had beautiful washing machines and things like this, but the atmosphere was friendly always.
Yes.
And you didn't have everything when you started, and...
Were you on a dairy farm in those days?
No, yes, Bill did have a dairy farm, and then in latter years, of course, he went out of cows and just went into dry stock and a few sheep. But he was the grandson of one of the original settlers in Mr. Cogswell.
Yes.
And Bill had to look after Mr. Cogswell's farm as well. They were joining.
Was that then along what's now known as Cogswell Valley Road?
No, that Mr. Cogswell's son lived, you could ride over the hills and go down and visit if you wished. Yes, but what do you want to know?
Well, it's all sorts of things, because you've been talking about driving into Raglan and the roads in those days, nothing like the roads today.
Yes, and coming to the pictures, say, in the 1930s or so, we'd come into the picture theatre at Raglan.
Yes.
Neville Meekins used to run the pictures then, and the road was really quite, windy.
Yes.
And we, instead of coming around like we do by Greenslades Road now, you went round further over, around where they
what's
had a
meeting. Cornwall Road that way? Off Hills Road and Cornwall Road, and where it goes round into the quarry.
There used to be a quarry there, that's right.
Yes.
Mr. Atherton? No, Mr. Atherton was a storekeeper. I won't try and remember his name. But it was really something, to hurry up and get finished so that you could get to the pictures.
Yes.
Because it was a wonderful outing, and Neville used to have some very good films, really.
Uh-huh. Can you remember some of the films that you saw? Were they all silent, I suppose, in those days?
No.
The sound had come in by then?
Yes. My first talking picture I went to in Frampton. Uh-huh. And that was one of the songs that if I had a talking picture of you, and yes,
because I was asking about the roads and is it right that the main road into Raglan used to be down Cross Street and through past the rugby ground?
Possibly it was. You see. I didn't know very much about that, and when I married, most of our business went over the hill.
Yes.
The dairy company had by then that closed shop here in Raglan, and everything went over the hill. So, of course, anything to do with the farm, naturally, they got it in Hamilton.
Yes.
And we didn't have a great deal to do with Raglan until the latter years.
Yes.
But...
So you remember how the deviation used to be in those days?
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, especially when the children started to arrive, there was a real scamper to get over to the nursing home before, and then they'd have to stop on the deviation while I used to get terribly car sick.
Yes.
And it wasn't very nice at all, and the medlets skid under the tyres, and
Was it very similar to the current gravel roads that we've got around the area?
Yes. But I do remember, I presume that was the old mountain road that we came over one time when we came to visit Uncle Bill.
Yes.
Belcher. And...
even more steep and twisting.
Yes. But, and the service tower, of course, several times my mother had to go back to Hamilton on Robertson's service car.
Yes.
A great big thing with, about three lots of seats in it.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And quite open as well, was it?
Yes, that also would have had curtains, I should imagine. Isn't it funny how you don't...
some of the details you can remember and some you can't.
Yes.
One of those tricks of life, isn't it?
That's right.
Some things you can remember vividly, like cream soda and other things you can't.
Yes, but it was the atmosphere of everything, and this is what most people, I don't care who you talk to, but they will tell you that growing up then was really very pleasant, really very pleasant to grow up in an atmosphere like that. And
presumably everyone had much the same background and much the same experience, much the same wealth.
And they were all trying to make a living and doing their best to do so.
Yes.
And the horse paddock at the Tiuku School, the horses used to get pushed aside when we wanted a game of basketball. We called it basketball then, not netball as it is now. And the storekeepers, we all knew the storekeepers very well.
There were stores in Teoku as well as...
Just the one store. It was built for a Mr. Weir, yes. And it, I think I've mentioned in the book here.
Yes.
It didn't matter what time you went to see him at night. Bill Coates used to go down at 9 o'clock at night after he'd finished work and dinner was over and that.
Yes.
And Mr. Weir would say, "Oh, nice to see you." Yes, and then of course I'd be chatting away, and then he'd do me up a bag of butterscotch.
Yes.
Yeah. that was really something. But you see, everything was...
That was in the days when they came out of bottles,
when,
was it?
You'd
weigh them out
loose,
of bottles?
Yes, no, these were loose.
Oh.
And they weren't wrapped in paper. So that...
They were very sticky.
They got very sticky, yes. But no, we, walking to school like we did, didn't hurt us one little bit.
Yes. Did you go to any other school afterwards?
Oh heavens, yes. I was all, because my mother was a home-trained midwife.
Yes.
And she was in great demand, as you can imagine, at those times, because,
yes,
you know, there wasn't the money that a lot of people couldn't afford to go to hospital even.
Oh.
And even though the hospitals were supposedly free, but they still had to have...
You had to travel there and you had to be away from him for a...
Mother was very busy, and of course as soon as she went off, I was sent to, say, a married sister or a brother and stay with them. But to come back here, and of course that's... how old was I when I was about 18? When I decided that Herbert Lusty was the boy I really liked.
Yes. How had you met him? Was it at one of the dances?
Yes. He was very, very shy. Got his friend to ask me for the first dance.
Yes.
And then, of course, he was in camp for some time. He didn't get overseas, but he... And I was a maternity... Yes, I did do that. I worked in a maternity hospital in Frampton. And then I went... After that, I went to psychiatric nursing. And finished my...
Also in Hamilton, was it?
No, that was at King's Seat, Papapura, out of Papapura. But to come home... The, you know, just to come back and see the people that you've known all day.
Yes, yeah. So that was just the period of the war that you were away from.
Yes.
Raglan and you came
and
back,
the Lusties, of course, they milked cows. They had a rather fancy setup whereby they had a water wheel which and the creek alongside, and they produced their own power.
Yes.
Long before it ever came to the district. And
that drove their milking machines.
Yes. But there was a lot of daring. I suppose Van Hounts would have been some of the first, well, Murray will tell you that, to have sheep.
Yes. So the sheep were quite rare in North Island in those days. South Island was a place for sheep. So.
Looking back, they seem to have more... Well, down the Wainara Road, the Maoris there, they had very nice farms.
Yes.
Very nice. And their stock, always in good condition. Wonderful.
Maybe if we talk about the farm for a bit, that would be a good idea. Because what animals did you have on the farm? Were they mostly Jersey cows?
Yes. And then around 1939, they went out of cows. And all this luscious growth of, you know, grass.
Yes.
And they bought sheep. And lost every one with eczema.
Yes, I remember reading that in the book.
Yes, and that was a bit of a setback.
Why had they decided to make the change, do you know?
Partly, I think, because...
Was it just the way prices were going?
My father-in-law, well, he was getting on a bit in years, and the one boy had got his own farm then down at Harota Bay,
yes.
And the other lad, he was in the Navy during the war, or got as far as Australia and the war finished in 47, I think it was. And Dad couldn't manage on his own, just the two of them, and then they had people working there as well. But they decided a change was as good as a rest, so...
Did it have anything to do with the dairy here closing down? Because that must have been
no,
the same
time. No, it was actually, dare I say it, it was actually my father-in-law and one or two of his cohorts who decided that it would be better if everybody went over the hill and yep. sent the milk to the dairy company over there.
Yeah, because that's been a gradual trend, hasn't it, that local
yeah,
dairies have been
yes,
closing down?
Yes. And, you know.
So what sort of day would the farmers have presumably got up fairly early to do the milking?
Yes, well, I wasn't involved in that. I was when I was living with my sister and brother-in-law before
yes.
I went to this nursing home to work. And it was a case of getting up and you hand milked. And in later years, Bill had machines put in, but we hand milked 40 or 50 cows.
Yes.
And it was all done, you know, before you could say hip hip hooray, it seems to me.
Yes. Oh, this was using the electricity from the water wheel, was it?
Or? Oh, no, that was in long before I ever met her. But
oh.
Yes, I'd learned how to milk a cow and apparently I was quite good at it. And,
yes.
Yes.
Also, this was on your home farm where you were
yes,
brought up.
Yes, but yeah. in the mornings, yes, it was quite busy. Herbert would have to go off around, you know, his stock. And then eventually the children turned up, so of course I was kept a little bit busy.
Yes.
And then the shearers came, and in those days we had to give them breakfast
yes.
and lunch and dinner at night. And now, of course, now they have breakfast before they go working, apparently, and you do give them some lunch, but they all go home for dinner.
Yes, yeah.
And then the event of the...
In those days, they wouldn't have driven up to the farm, I suppose, though. How would they have got there?
Yes, yes, most of them had...
most of them had a car, even in those days.
Yes, and also a little, like a ute, I suppose,
yes.
that type of thing, a little truck. Fords, most of them.
Yes.
And...
Did you have a Ford as well?
We didn't have a motor car. Now, this might interest, I don't know, if you put it in or whatever,
yes.
it might interest people to know that we were married 5 years before I even had a washing machine. And I had to boil the copper
yes.
and do the washing that way. And certainly I had a wringer hung on the tubs so that you could wring from one side to the other, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And we didn't have a motor car. And then Herbert's father decided that he would like a new motor car, so we bought his old one,
yes.
an old Chev.
Uh-huh.
And we stuck with Chevs all those years, and then we went into Holden's.
Yep. How did you get around in those 5 years before you got the motor car?
If we wanted to go to Hamilton, and especially if it was time for the when the two boys, anyway, well, three boys were born at that stage, but... walk across the paddock and climb over the fence and borrow Grandad's car.
Oh.
And in latter years, the driveway up to their place was continued over the paddock to us, so that was wonderful.
Yes.
You could walk by the track.
Yep.
But we didn't have everything, you see, so that when we got it, it was absolutely fabulous.
Yes.
And, you know, a new, get our first fridge. Oh, gee, it was just marvellous.
Yeah. What stage did you get electricity? Obviously,
well,
the family married into had electricity.
I wasn't married when electricity came to Raglan. I can't remember the year, but I was still down the Wainoa Road,
yeah.
and I was a teenager then.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And this marvellous thing of walking in and pulling the switch down, and there was light. We didn't have to light the benzene lamp anymore.
Yes.
Except when the power went off, of course,
uh-huh.
which didn't seem to happen.
Well,
and, of
no,
course,
no
Lusties could do away with their power then, too,
uh-huh.
because they used to have electric lights all the way up the paddocks to keep the voltage down a bit.
Oh.
So the cows were never really in the dark.
Did that affect their milking? Would it affect their milking?
No, not at all. No.
And what about the day-to-day things, like doing the shopping? And so would you go in every day?
Well, we'd go down to the store.
Yes.
And, of course, rationing was on at one stage. Mm-hmm. The storekeeper had the cheek to tell me that he didn't have any apricots, dried apricots.
Yes.
No, he didn't. But from where we lived, it was behind the Tiuga Hall, a house up in the paddock, behind the Tiuga Hall. And I was out hanging the washing out one day, and the voice carried from the store, the wind must have been in there. And Mrs. Somebody or Other had pulled up there, and I heard her ask the storekeeper if he had any dried apricots. Yes, he did have some, and I can let you have a few. Having told me just before lunch that he didn't have any.
So then what happened?
Well, I went down the next day and asked if he could spare me a few dried apricots. Because they were, you know, I mean, they were really very nice to have.
Yes.
And we could afford a few more things by then. So, yes, he, you know, he sort of looked very...
He thought maybe he'd better find it. Did you go shopping much in Raglan or Hamilton in those days?
No, I did come down, and Petrels at the one stage used to have very nice clothes,
yes.
South Island jerseys and things.
Yes.
And I've even now got a jersey that I bought at Petrels, oh glory, hallelujah, in 1950, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I've still got it, I've kept it, it's going to be an heirloom. But we didn't do a great deal of shopping, but the shops were marvellous, really. There was a lady that made hats, and there was a lovely frock shop, two frock shops.
Yes, all on Bow Street.
All on Bow Street. And there was a hairdresser in latter years, yes. But there again, we went to Hamilton, and some, do you know that our income wasn't very large, so of course we didn't have money to throw around. We were paying off. My husband had bought this place where we lived and a few acres, 100 acres that went with it, and we were paying that off. So when he would say sometime, would you like to go to Hamilton today? If we go in for an hour, you know this. And we'd drive into Hamilton and buy a shilling's worth of chocolate peanuts, or chocolate raisins actually, from the self-help shop, and sit and watch people going along, right, and then we'd come home and have lunch.
Yes, yes.
And that was an outing. And it was marvellous.
Yes, yes.
You know, we didn't worry because we didn't have the best linen clothes to wear.
Yes, yes.
Because there were so many other people who didn't have the best line either.
Yes.
Fashions.
Yes, yes. What would the roads have been like in those? When was the deviation sealed? Can you remember? Was it much after the war? Or?
Yes, yes. Because the tank stop was put up at the top of the deviation then.
Yes.
And I don't know what sort of a tank it would have stopped. Mind you, I think a good bump from the bus one time hurt it a bit. But
because the one on Old Mountain Road is still there, isn't it?
Yes.
The tank stop there.
Yeah.
That was rather more solid than the
yes,
one on...
but this was just past the top of, when you're going from here,
yes.
This was just past the top of the deviation.
Uh-huh.
And as you were starting to go a few yards further down that side, that's where the tank stop was.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And of course that road has changed now, of course. The corners are a little, they're what, a few less?
Yes, so they keep taking
but
a few...
But it was meddled, and if we went for a holiday, when we came back, after all the tar-sealed roads, in Taranaki, for instance, every road was tar-sealed,
yes.
All the little side ones, and you'd come back, and you'd get to Hamilton, and you'd come out to Wata Wata, finish, you were on a middle road, and away you went. And look, it really took the icing off the cake.
Yes. Did you travel in much by bus in those days?
No, I did when I was nursing. I used to come out on the bus and stay perhaps a night or a weekend with my in-laws. They weren't in-laws then. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Kingsead, of course, nursed at Kingsead, I'd come home by train and Herbert would meet me in Hamilton.
Yes. Or,
yes, yeah. Frankton, actually.
Uh-huh. Is that where the buses started from, Frankton, or did they go to the centre of Hamilton?
No, they went into Hamilton.
Yes.
Yes. But they would pick you up all along the road. And I think it cost, I can't remember how much it cost. 2 and 6, 5.50. 5 shillings, was it? One way. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't...
Yeah, it's quite expensive in those days.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So it was another reason to use a car and...
That's right.
Not to travel on the bus too often.
Herbert was called up, of course, and... I went on, we were married then, and I went on nursing at Herbert. Well, I wasn't allowed to leave there until I was 3 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that it was all a rude awakening to everything. And then he was invalided out of the army, and he didn't get overseas. But they were... We used to have wonderful do's in the Tuga Hall, collecting money for food parcels and stuff for the return, the soldiers overseas.
Yes.
And have dances there. And
so,
I wish I could just...
When did that carry on till? Can you remember? Was it until television came along? Or was it
didn't have television right when it came out, I know that much. I remember Jim Bardsley came down, he wanted to watch a football match on our TV. Yeah. When we got it, Johnny Bing wouldn't go. Oh dear, were our faces a bit pink.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't that, it was because I had switched it off at the wall and forgot to put it back on.
For a simple explanation for most things.
And then aerial top dressing came, and I wish I could give you the feeling. Because Herbert used to have 4 horses, mm-hmm. and on each horse he would have 2 sacks of fertilizer, manure, super, yes. Mm-hmm. phosphate.
In bags.
Yeah, so that would be 8 bags that he would take up into the hills, mm-hmm. and then he'd fill his little bag that he carried around his shoulders.
Yes.
And walk down into the gully sowing with manure.
Yes.
So you can imagine the joy when... when his father went up north dressing. And saw this aeroplane mm-hmm. doing a most marvellous job and ordered it for us, and we sat up in the paddock waiting for the aeroplane to come.
Yes.
Oh, it was... Oh!
Yours was the first farm in the area to use it, so...
Yes.
I remember reading that.
And I remember Herbert Lusty saying, thank God I won't have to sow any more manure by hand. You know, it was just... But I wish I could sort of give you the feeling of being in a community that cared.
Yes.
I mean, they're a caring lot here in Raglan, they really are. But somehow, when you're in the country, there was just that much different than living in the township. Mm-hmm. And they really were, the Te Mata folk too. Very, very caring, and I've never regretted my... I was too young to worry about that. I nearly died when we came up here. I had a very bad hemorrhage when I was 4 years old, and they thought that was curtains, but obviously I had something left there.
As well as aerial top dressing, did you also get tractors and mechanisers?
Oh, yes.
That all came about the same time?
Yes. And, you know, it was... We'd have all the stock agents turn up just at lunchtime.
Yes.
The one man who was the London Wool Board rep, mm-hmm. he never ever came until lunchtime. And then we'd hear all about his dear wife, you know, how busy she had been in the morning so that you could get off to her golf. And, you know, he never even thought that I might have been busy, you know, seeing to family and etc.
Had a reputation for doing good lunches, did you?
Well, they never went away complaining, but I won't say I was a perfect cook. Oh, no. And I liked singing. I had never been trained singing. I just had a natural keeping in tune voice, you know.
Yes.
And I just loved singing. I loved it. And we even now, I belong to the Raglan Ladies Choir. It's been going for donkey's years. Yeah. And some of us ought to be pensioned off, I think. But we do it because it's very good for us. Mm-hmm. And it was the same at Tiuhu.
Yes.
The Women's Institute. Which, you know, everyone came because it was an outing and you had afternoon tea mm-hmm. with friends.
Yes, yes.
And we did do some good, yes.
You also had the Rural Women's Group, was it?
At Te Mata. At yes. Te Mata. They had the Women's Division, as they called then. But we were the Women's Institute, and that's still going in quite a few places. I think they've even closed down in Raglan now.
Yes.
But, no, it was a real joy, if you'd been away anywhere, to come home.
Yes.
And I think most people will tell you that, regardless of what we had or didn't have. It was wonderful.
Yes. What sort of things would they have done? Obviously, had regular meetings, presumably.
Yes, once a month there would be a meeting.
It would be similar to the craft groups?
And we had, yes, this all came as part and parcel. The Institute would have a craft afternoon.
Yes.
Apart from the proper meeting, you know.
Yes, yes.
They would have a craft afternoon. And then painting was introduced.
Yes.
One day I remember I said, "It's, you know, let's try painting." And so now some of the better painters around Raglan who have had Tiuhu experience, that was when they first got a taste of learning another
trying
craft.
Yes.
And then, of course, spinning and things like that, they took up. Lots of people used to spin at home, but then they started the spinning group.
Yes.
And we were never bored. I can tell you that much. We were never bored. And the children, of course, we were lucky to have lived on a farm with the children because they had all the occupations that the kids now in town don't get. They could climb a tree, they could go for a walk in the paddock and play cowboys and Indians and stuff like this. They really were very, very lucky. And then the Sunday school. I taught Sunday school for a good many years. And
this was also in Tiuhu.
Yes, and the children just loved it.
Yes. Did they go to school locally?
Yes.
So they went to the same school as you?
Because
the school was moved at some stage, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It used to be, quarter of a mile this way, coming towards Raglan.
Yes.
And it was known as Waitatuna at that time.
Oh.
And finally we got our own. Yes.
And it moved to its present site.
And then it was moved to its present site. And I think the old school, the first school that I ever remember going to, ended up as a wool shed on Hardstones, had a piece of ground that they were leasing from the Gillets, the Maoris.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our old school finished up. Yes.
Many buildings seem to move around in several lives.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
So when your children went to school, was it on the new site or the old site?
On the new site.
The new site.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we're a little more advanced, you know.
Were
we
still
becoming
just one
quite
teacher?
Modern.
Yeah. Was it still just one teacher in those days? Had they moved
yes,
on?
And then... I think it'll tell you in Bob's book anyway, about the teachers.
Yes. There is quite a list of teachers from most of the schools, I think.
Yes.
Which maybe brings me back to how you arranged who was going to do what when you were writing the book with Bob. Did you volunteer to do some things, or did he say,
well,
would
he
you
used
do this?
To ask. He had a very nice way, Bob Vernon did, of asking.
Yes.
He didn't demand. He just sort of... He looked kind of pitiful and, you know, he was looking for someone to write a piece. Could you do that?
Yes.
And then, of course, well, naturally, when you have some poor fellow standing at your door, you know, on one leg and then the other, you know. Yes.
Yes. Do you know what drove him to write all these books? What was he particularly interested in the local history?
Yes, very. And the Tuyuku book was the first one.
Oh, great.
And he paid for the publication and what have you, but the sales money, well, he took a bit out of it, I suppose, but he gave the money to the Tuyuku Plunkett Society.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was the same with each book he wrote. He kept very little of the, just more or less, just to help pay for the printing of the jolly things.
Yes. Yeah. Did he enthuse the rest of the authors who worked with him?
Oh, yes. Yes. So, I know some of them were a bit reluctant. Oh, we don't know how to do that. Well, I didn't either. My English has a lot to... I'm not very good.
Did he help you with it? So?
No. Yeah. But as I say, it was edited, and they just perhaps cut out one or two little pieces and... but otherwise, it was all my own thoughts.
Yes. Did you go and look at the old records and land transactions and things like that? Or you just relied on what you could remember and what other
people probably remember? Did. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that everything was in order.
Yes.
And as I say, if for Eric Moon, if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have been able to put down half of what I did.
Yes.
And it was really fascinating to learn about the people that lived up on the hills, it was our farm then. But to learn how the Mr. and Mrs. Doesn't matter now. They milked cows, you know,
yes.
Right up in the hills. They milked the cows. Well, so did Van Houts, of course, back on the plateau.
Yes.
And then all their produce they brought it down to Raglan on horse and cart, I suppose, you know, a big.
Yes.
What did you call them then? Wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And down here to the Cliff Street, where the wharf ran out there, right out
yes.
into the
mm-hmm.
where
the end
channel
of
is.
Street. Yes.
And they bring all their produce down to there.
Mm-hmm.
Butter and
yep.
sheep,
yep.
all sorts of things.
I think we need to stop there. It'd be very tempting to carry on listening to the rest of that tape. Very pleased to find out that the tape still works after 11 years or so. 12 years, I think it is, since I recorded that. So that was, recorded something like 12 years ago, talking to Lorna Lusty. And... whilst that was on, I looked up some of the things that I should have looked up before I started talking to her, like the new school that Waitutuna was built, or the school that had been called Waitutuna, rather, was built as a new school and renamed Tuyuku in 1908. So, not surprising, somebody born in 1920 didn't know too much about it. she did remember the head teacher there, who was Miss Crabb, Lillian Laura Crabb, and she was head teacher from September 1931 to January 1940, and that was the time when they decided to build a school swimming pool. The book that Lorna was talking about said that a suitable pool was located in a stream that flowed through George Silcock's property. A dam was constructed with timber bought by the school committee, 4x4s, and about 10 to 12 feet long. They were placed across the stream between the clay banks and 9x1 planks set vertically. A draining chute was left at the bottom and the whole face lined with bags of soil. The pool thus formed would have been 22 yards long and 3 to 5 feet deep. It was drained two to three times a year to flush away the silt, and at the end of each swimming season all the timber was removed and stored under the school. It was used for 7 or 8 years, and some good stories are told about it. One young swimmer of that time vividly remembers an occasion when Miss Crabb, while escorting her charges to the pool, reminded them that any child who fell off the log that spanned a swampy patch was just plain careless. Little imagination is needed to visualise the mirth when the teacher had to be picked up out of the mud. So, I don't know how many other stories there were like that, but there was also another story about somebody who was born a couple of years before Lorna and went to a school, and says that under Miss Lillian Laura Crabb's guidance, she completed her Standard 7 by correspondence. So it sounds like there was some good education to be had there.
So that was recorded or broadcast rather about 10 years ago, so the original recording must have been in the early 2000s. I don't know where they sound like a pumping engine came from, so I hope you might cope with that sound. I don't know that anyone knows how to get rid of it. It's beyond my technical capabilities, but anyway, it was interesting to hear Lorna, because we've gradually been losing these people who recall those days, and unfortunately Lorna was one of them. But it was interesting to talk to her at the time, and interesting to listen again. I was thinking of cutting it off partway through to listen to the top of the hour items, but I thought maybe it was too interesting to do that, so I didn't. So let's have those rather belatedly now at 7:20.
Hi Raglan, Wayne, Super Values. Come in and check out our great specials with over 1,000 every week. If you are a gold card holder, every second Tuesday is for you. Present your card and receive an instant 5% discount on your purchases, including all existing specials. Our community cash grants are available to all local clubs and organisations. Our New Zealand Post and KiwiBank staff are here to help. We look forward to seeing you in store and being part of this great Raglan community.
Tired of shivering through winter or sweltering in that summer heat? Stendi Electrical is here to help with our top-notch heat pumps. Our team of experts is fully licensed and trained to install the latest energy-efficient heat pumps in your home or business. And if you don't know which heat pump is best for you, we can give you a free quote. We also provide servicing to ensure they're always running at peak performance. So don't wait until the next heat wave or cold snap. Call us now for a free quote. 825-0214.
Looking for a conference room for your next get-together? Raglan Holiday Park's Hui Room is a modern facility that caters for up to 35 people. And with large screen, bathroom facilities and a full kitchen, it's perfect for team building, meetings, events and more. The Hui Room is only a few metres from the beach, which is great for extra activities, and accommodation is available for anyone coming from out of town. We do great discounted rates for locals too, so give us a call on 825 8283 today.
Raglan Community Radio supports the Raglan Food Bank.
The food bank can be found at 36 Bow Street opposite the Community House and is open for business between 1 and 3 Mondays and Fridays.
Donations can be dropped off at these times or at Super Value.
Check out the food bank's current needs on our sign at the Super Value entrance or online at surfside.co.nz.
Or find out more about the Surfside Community Services, Food Bank and Counselling Services by phoning 825 5199.
The Raglan Food Bank, Raglan's only true community bank.
98.1 FM. Catch the waves.
I hope you're catching the waves this evening. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. Rangel Fangarar at 23 minutes, or just come at 23 minutes past 7. And I was thinking of playing another half hour of talking about Georgie, but since we've only got 7-6 minutes of the show to go, maybe it's a good idea just to start playing some music instead. So if you have been, thanks for listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan. If you haven't, you're getting music 6 minutes early this evening. So we've got Tones and I Cloudy Day lined up. And I hope you might both join me next week anyway, 6-ish till 7:30-ish, here on Raglan Community Radio, Rangel Fangarar. And here's Tones and I Cloudy Day.